We're talking about the power of we. And the power of we is God and I joined together. In essence, when I join God, then His power is released. And today I want to talk to you about the power of stewardship. Because something happens for the power of God to be released in my life when I understand that I'm the steward, not the owner. As a matter of fact, God's power is not released to its fullest in my life if I see myself as the owner, not the steward. His power is released through stewards. Let me put it this way. Have you ever stayed in someone else's home? Have you ever maybe visited someone and you slept in their bed, or you visited them for a while, or maybe you house sat when someone was on vacation, or maybe someone let you borrow their vacation home or condo or something? And I think I'd like to ask you to raise your hands because I want to make sure I'm not the only moocher here. How many of you have ever stayed in someone else's home? Can I see your hand? Okay. A couple summers ago, I remember we did that. We stayed in someone else's vacation home, and Debbie wouldn't let me touch anything. She wouldn't let me put my feet on the coffee table. You know, I kind of laid down on the couch. Don't lay down on the couch, she said, you know. And she didn't want me to lay down on the beds either because they'd been made up, so I had to lay on the floor. But anyway, the whole week, she kept reminding me, this is not ours. This doesn't belong to us. This is temporary. We're going to go back to our house when this is over. This is just a temporary place. She was reminding me that we weren't the owners. We were the stewards of it. Okay, look at Matthew 25, because Jesus tells a wonderful story about being a steward. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered, now this word's very important, his goods to them. Delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. That's an important phrase. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid, here's an important phrase, his Lord's money. It wasn't his money, it was his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was, what? Afraid. You just don't understand what the stock market did, Lord. I was afraid. And went and hid, this is important, your talent. It didn't belong to him, it belonged to the Lord. Your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, now he gets a different response than the other 2 guys. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I started not to read the last 2 verses because they're kind of sobering. But I thought it is what Jesus said. It seems like he puts a high regard on stewardship. Let me tell you what stewardship is. Stewardship is the mindset of managing the property of another. That's really all stewardship is. Stewardship means to manage that which belongs to someone else. Now, what I'm wondering is, are we stewards or are we owners? Well, I got 3 points for you. Here's point number one. God owns it all. God owns it all. Now, we'll get to Luke 12 in a minute, but let me just show you a few scriptures, all right? Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Now, I think that's kind of humorous, God saying, if I were hungry, you think I'd tell you? Here's what, in essence, he's saying. Hey, if I get hungry, I'll eat one of my cows. I'll eat one of my chickens. I own them all. Everything. Every beast is mine. All right, let me say it another way so you might get it. Your dog is my dog. That's what God's saying. Your dog is my dog. Everything, I own it all. Okay, I have a very, very simple question for you. If God owns it all, how much do you own? Nothing. You don't own anything. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Oh, now we find out that the people belong to him too. Now, here's what some of you were thinking a moment ago. Well, God can have my dog. I don't really like him that much anyway. He can have my dog. No, he owns you. Let me keep getting it a little more simple here. You don't own you. You don't own you. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 6 says it this way. We don't even own our own bodies. We're just borrowing them. 70, 80, 100 years, you just get to use it for that amount of time. You don't even own it. You're supposed to be a steward of it. God owns your body. 1 Corinthians 10, 26 says, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. God owns everything. Wait, I'm just not sure we're catching this yet. How many of you ladies have a diamond on your finger? Can I see your hand? You don't have to be embarrassed about it, all right? That diamond came from God's coal. The clothes on your back came from God's field. The house you live in came from God's forest. The money in your pocket came from God's trees. The metal you drove to church came from God's earth. If you have a pearl, it came because one of God's oysters got irritated by sand. You don't own it. You don't own the clothes you're wearing right now. You don't own the money in your pocket or in the bank. It's all God's. God owns everything. But he's letting you use his stuff. And let me tell you why he's letting you use his stuff. In case you don't know, he's letting you use his stuff to further his kingdom. And I'm wondering if God gets irritated, if God gets a little ticked off when his stewards use his stuff to further their goals and not his kingdom. And I don't think God minds us enjoying his stuff. You look all through Scripture, God created, why did he create the mountains? Why did he create the oceans? He created it for us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the earth. But while we're enjoying the earth, he doesn't want us to live as consumers. He wants us to live as stewards. And he wants us to steward everything he gives us to further the kingdom. Because he is looking for a return on his investment in you. He's going to come back one day and see what you did with his stuff. See, one of the things about this story, it says, after a long time, the owner showed up. After a long time. You realize how the human mind thinks after a long time. You know, it's been a long time. He might not be coming back. Maybe this stuff is my stuff. Well, I want you to know something. The owner is coming back. He's coming back. No matter what your eschatological views are, I can tell you one we all agree on, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, He's going to settle accounts with his servants. That's what we just read out of Jesus' own mouth. See, you know what we have? Here's what I think we have. We have a teenager problem. How many of you have or have ever had a teenager in your home? Can I see your hands? Let me explain to you what the teenager problem is. The teenager problem thinks that everything is there for him. And at some point, when you've had or have a teenager in your home, you have a thought like this. This is not your house. You either had that thought or you expressed that thought. And you may have expressed it sternly at one point. This is not your house. Matter of fact, you're here on loan. Come 18 and maybe before then, you're out of here. My name's on the deed. I pay the bills. And then it's this, here's the famous line. And as long as you live in my house, you're going to live by my rules. Is everyone understanding this illustration? Okay, listen to me. I'm wondering if God has a teenager problem. I'm wondering if God is saying, this is not your house. This is my house. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, and all who dwell on it. Your name's not on the deed. My name's on the deed. You understand, this is exactly the way he started things with Adam and Eve. Here's what he said with Adam and Eve. You tend it, you take care of it, but it's mine. I'm the owner. And I'm going to put a tree right in the middle of the garden so that every time you pass that tree, you remember that you're not the owners, you're the stewards. And in essence, the lie of Satan composed many things, but here's one of it. The lie of Satan was, you eat from that tree, you'll be the owner. And that's what sin's been trying to tell us ever since. That's your money. That's your house. You understand, this is why this issue is so important to the evolutionists. They don't want to bend on creation. You want to know why? Because if there's a creator, there's an owner. And they don't want to even have the thought that there's an owner who's going to come back and find out what we did with his stuff. So, number one, God owns it all. Here's number two. I'm a steward. I am just a steward. That's all I am, is a steward. Now, let me explain to you what this parable is specifically talking about. The talent that's referred to here is not ability. It's not ability. Now, there are numerous passages we could talk about, and we could maybe make a second reference in this passage to ability. Or to time. We're supposed to steward time. That's not what this is. That's not the primary meaning of this passage. A talent is a sum of money. It is a sum of money. This is specifically talking about money. He uses that to talk about money. Again, we should be stewards of everything in our life, obviously. But this is all about money. This is important for us to understand. Now, how much is the talent? Well, this is an interesting definition because it relates to the definition of denarius, okay? I told you a while back how much a denarius is or what a denarius, what the word denarius means. Does anyone remember what denarius means? A day's wage. Great. You get an A in the class. A day's wage. And it could fluctuate with inflation. So a day's wage, a denarius was a sum of money, but it wasn't a set sum of money. All right, it may be like the minimum wage. It might change, okay? So a denarius is a day's wage. 300 denarii was a year's wage. That's right. That's what people thought. When they said 300 denarii, they thought immediately a year's wage. Okay, let me explain to you now what a talent is according to Jewish tradition. You ready for this? A talent, it's 10,000 denarii. Okay, let me tell you what they would say. A denarius is a day's wage. 300 denarii, a year's wage. A talent is a lifetime wage. It's what you make in your lifetime. That's what it is. Interestingly, it's 33 and a third years. Same amount of time Jesus lived on this earth. What did he do with his talent? What did he do with his lifetime? Now, I'm not just simply saying that. It's that they recognize in Jewish that would be probably about the time you would work. You'd probably make about a 10,000 denarii in your lifetime. But Jesus gives different amounts here. He gives one talent or one lifetime's wage to one person, but another he gives two, and another he gives five. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, let me tell you what he did. He said he gave to each according to his ability. According to his ability. Well, and by the way, I don't think you stay at one of these. You can move to another level if God can trust you with more. For instance, I used to be at the one talent level. As a matter of fact, I was below it. In other words, if that's the average wage, the first year Debbie and I were married, at the end of the year, the government sent me a check because I didn't make enough money. The government felt sorry for me. And there was some poverty thing that I qualified for that I got money I didn't even pay in. I got more. I got some something, you know, because I was poor. We weren't poor, we were po. And there's a difference, by the way. We were po. But I make more now than that. I have more responsibility, I make more. So here's what I'm trying to say. You say, well, I'm just that one talent. You don't have to stay one talent. You don't have to stay one talent. You will stay one talent if you bury it in the ground. But if you invest some of your talent in the kingdom of God, he'll give you another talent. So one talent, two talent, five. There are some people make twice the average wage. Some people make five times the average wage. But some people make more. How do you figure that? Well, let me explain something else to you about this passage. There was a talent of silver and there was a talent of gold. The talent of gold was 10 times the talent of silver. So some people make an average wage. Some people make twice the average wage. Some people make five times the average wage. Some people, though, make 10 times the average wage. Some make 20. Some make 50 times the average wage. They're called athletes, by the way. But here's the point. God did not expect the guy that had five talents to only give him one talent. He expected the guy that made five to give him five back. He expected him to steward what God had given him. And I'm telling you, there are many of you here that you make much more than the average wage. God's expecting you to steward that. He's expecting you to steward what he's given you. See, I'm a steward. I'm not the owner. I'm a steward. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God." Now think about the word power. We've been talking about the power of we. "For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant." See, God gives people power to get wealth that he may increase his kingdom. That's why. So if he has given you five talents, I want to know, is he getting five back from you? Or is he just getting a little bit back? Because he's going to ask you one day. Here's the third point, and I phrase it as a question. Am I a good steward? I mean, I know I'm a steward, because everybody's a steward. Every person, you understand, every person's a steward. It just depends on whether you're a good one or a bad one. Today, right now, you're either a good steward or a bad steward. So, am I a bad steward? The bad steward buried it in the earth. Now, Jesus said to him, you could have put it in the bank. At least put it in the bank. Well, there's a couple of things about the bank we need to understand. First of all, why do you put your money in the bank? You put your money in the bank for two reasons. To protect it and to expand it. That's why you put your money in the bank. You put it in to be protected and to be expanded. So that you get interest on it. You make more. Okay? Let me explain something. If you haven't quite caught this of stewardship, you need to understand something. Maybe you never thought of it this way. And I didn't think of it this way until studying for this and preparing for this message. Listen carefully. You are God's bank. You're God's bank. See, each of these, it says, his Lord's money. His Lord's money. He took his Lord's money. Okay. God has deposited his money into you to protect it and to expand it for the kingdom. It's very important for the kingdom. Another thing about the bank is there's a record. that you get a receipt for it. There's a record of it. You know one of the reasons the bad steward didn't want to put the Lord's money in the bank? He didn't want a record of what he was doing with it. The only thing is, what he forgot is that the master keeps his own records. The Lord knew what he was doing with it. So are you a good steward? And let's talk about this for a minute, this point of being a good steward. Look at Luke chapter 12. Let's read this passage. Luke 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul,'" he's even talking to himself here, "'soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease.'" It's his application, by the way, that's wrong. "'Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose,'" now I want you to think about this, "'then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Yeah, let me just give you a couple of interesting notes about this. This man was not reprimanded for his hard work. God never reprimanded him for hard work. He was not even reprimanded for accumulating. He wasn't reprimanded for that. He wasn't reprimanded for building bigger. Here's what he was reprimanded for. He was reprimanded for living for himself. He was reprimanded for storing up for himself and not storing up treasure in heaven. He was also reprimanded, now listen carefully, he was reprimanded for not trusting God to provide for his future. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't save. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be careful with our investments. But I just want you to think about it. When we talk about being a good steward, is this being a good steward? Is it to be a good steward that you build up and build up and build up and never give to the kingdom, but you build up and then you die and you leave a large inheritance? Is that being a good steward? Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with leaving an inheritance, but you do know the statistics are by far the majority of inheritances are spent in the first 12 months they're received. By far. So you work and work and work and work and work, and you save and save and save, and then you die. Here's what God said to him. "Then whose will these things be that you provided for?" What's going to happen to them then? Now, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't work and leave an inheritance to our children, because a good man leaves and inherits to his children's children. But hopefully the inheritance they leave is also a spiritual inheritance where he teaches them to be good stewards and sow into the kingdom of God. Let me say it this way. How many of you have an IRA? Some form, whether it's Social Security for you or whatever, but some form of a retirement account. Can I see your hand? Okay. All right, so I said, how many of you have an IRA? Most of you raise your hands. How many of you have an ERA? Let me tell you what it is. It's an eternal retirement account. And here's what I want to know. How big's your ERA? Not your IRA. How big's your ERA? And I know right now our IRAs, I understand that they've lost money in the last month. My father called me this last week, said, "Son, I've got some bad news for you. My 401k went to a 201k. But I want to tell you something. I have more in my ERA than I have in my IRA. A lot more. And I'm so excited about it, because if I die right now, I'm taken care of for eternity. I've stored it up. I stored it up where the stock market can't touch it. You understand that the only stocks that didn't lose money last month were the eternal stocks. By the way, if you start giving to your IRA late in life, you might have to double up. Right? Right? If you start giving to your ERA late in life, you might have to double up. And you also understand that as soon as you die, you can't make any more deposits into your ERA. That account's closed. You can make deposits right now into your ERA. Let me explain. Please listen to me carefully. A good steward is not someone who stores it up and leaves it all on earth. A good steward is someone who sends as much ahead as he can. Someone who gives into the kingdom. Someone who invests in the kingdom. And here's the great part. We got an opportunity to do it. We have an opportunity during one of the worst financial times in history to say, we trust you. Here's what I'm expecting for you to do for me and my family for the next 3 years. Here's what I'm expecting, God. Please don't expect nothing. You're a steward. Are you a good steward?